This is Brad Zahn, Senate District 20, which represents Urbandale, Johnston, and Grimes.
Okay. Can you give me an example of an experience you've had as a state senator that you believe prepared you to be a member of Congress?
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest example that I'd have that would prepare me is obviously understand the process, but working across the aisle, being independent and doing what's right rather than what's the party is trying to influence you one way or the other. I've got a lot of good relationships across the aisle. Had one example of getting legislation through in the minority, and that was I originally filed the dyslexic bill that we had in the Iowa Senate, and then I worked with Brian Shane John, and then we all worked together and got it through the Senate, got it through the House, and the governor signed it.
How did you get it through? I mean, what did that take?
Well, it took a lot of conversations, and I had a constituent that contacted me earlier in the year, last year, and brought it to my attention that there's teachers out there that are not identifying this learning disability, and that there's other states around the United States that have passed legislation to help educate teachers to discover maybe there's kids that do have this learning opportunity. So I did that. Of course, I came down to the Capitol. I pre-filed that bill. And then it came down the Capitol. I talked to the education co-chair, and I said, hey, listen, this is something I think we need to look at. And Brian agreed. And then, of course, we worked together and got it all the way through the process.
What do you think is the one thing you can do in Congress to help create jobs in Iowa?
Well, you know, my business experience really gives me an advantage because I had a hardware store for 18 years. Right now, I have an IT company with a business partner that we've started about 6 years ago and have created in this company. Actually, we've hit exactly 210 employees a week ago. So I understand the challenges. To create a better environment for people to grow their companies, we've got to cut the red tape and the regulations. I was just yesterday in Red Oak and Atlantic, and I talked to a lot of business owners around the town squares of both communities telling me, you know, the paperwork has just gotten out of control. We also got to look at the tax climate that's out there. And I think that we need to look at that and improve that. And so if we cut the red tape, you know, enhance the tax climate so we lower taxes on business owners, I know that we will be able to see new jobs created in the state of Iowa.
A Iowa poll in March shows 65% of those polled supported an increase in the minimum wage. Would you support a minimum wage increase?
I've always been opposed to that in the Iowa Capitol. I think there's been one time that I've voted against that. I can tell you that what I am very supportive of is creating an environment for people to make a living wage rather than a minimum wage. I mean, if you go from, you know, up to their latest proposals at $10.10 an hour, it's still hard to make a living and take care of all your expenses at home. What I'm all about is creating a better environment for the job creators, like we just talked about in the previous question, to have everybody have an opportunity to make a living wage. So to answer your question directly, I would not support a minimum wage increase that's being proposed.
The proposed changes to the renewable fuel standards seem to signal that the administration may move away from grain-based alternatives to conventional fuels. What would you do in Washington to work in a bipartisan manner on energy policy that would benefit Iowans and still have a national appeal?
Well, one thing is I did co-sponsor the resolution, and I was very disappointed in the current administration in regards to the renewable fuel standard. Renewable fuels are good for the state of Iowa. I can tell you that what I will do in Washington, D.C. is fight for the renewable fuels industry here in the state of Iowa and make sure that we are treated equally than some of the petroleum companies that are out there. In regards to what we need to do is we need to obviously capture some of the some of the fuels and that we have here in the state of Iowa and make sure I obviously would support the Keystone Pipeline and there's a lot of federal parks that are out there right now that I know that there's some resources that are available as well, and I'd be open-minded to having that conversation as well.
I think it's more, federally. How do you, obviously here in Iowa, we produce so much of the corn that goes into these grain-based fuels. Right. How do you bring that argument to the rest of the country so the rest of the country thinks it's good for them too?
It's real simple. We're over there fighting in wars, and a lot of people that hate us, that we're dependent on their oil. And we're best to be rely on what we have in the regards to resources here in the state of Iowa. So I'm going to fight, obviously, if it comes to a sugar cane versus a corn-based ethanol fight, which if Marco Rubio is fighting for the sugar cane industry in the state of Florida, I'm going to be fighting for the corn-based ethanol plants and the farmers in the state of Iowa.
You're campaigning to join Congress at a time when its approval ratings are at some of the lowest in history, hovering in the low to mid-teens in most cases. How did we get to this point?
Because we have people in Washington, D.C. that are not listening to the constituents. We have elected officials that are there for careers rather than public service. Because the dissatisfaction is because Washington, D.C. is not listening. They're delaying all the tough decisions that have to be made. And I think that the poll that you just talked about, they deserve.
This has been called a do-nothing Congress. In what areas can you imagine compromising with the other party to get something accomplished for Iowa?
Well, I've certainly done that a lot in the state Senate. What we need to do is there's a lot of problems out there. We need to find common ground. I've seen this happen in the Iowa Senate. We have to work together. The only way we're going to make any tough decisions and move this country forward is it's got to be done in a bipartisan way. We've got to quit the bickering, and we got to get to work on behalf of the people we represent. So I would just say we find common ground, and then that's what we work on. And we can find common ground throughout. I've been told that there are 17 U.S. senators that are up for re-election that are Democrats that are running away from Obamacare. I could guarantee you we could find common ground in regards to some of the reforms that need to be done in health care if we do it in a bipartisan way.
The U.S. House has held dozens of votes to either repeal, defund, or otherwise dismantle the Affordable Care Act. President Obama will not sign legislation repealing, defunding, or dismantling the legislation. But the law remains unpopular. So with most polls showing more people opposed to rather than in support of the law, what are your ideas for revising it?
Well, first of all, there's an election coming up this fall, and who knows what's going to happen. But if the Republicans get in charge of the Senate, there will be opportunities to pass legislation from both the House and the Senate and send to the President of the United States to repeal the Obamacare that was passed. Obviously, that's his signature legislation. The reality of that happening is probably not going to happen. With that said, what the Congress and the Senate can do, because I know there's a lot of Democrats that are not happy about how it turned out, how it was rolled out, that I believe that what you do is you try to override his veto. If you're not successful then, one thing I've been very opinionated on is I think it's been disappointing that the Republicans haven't offered alternatives. We have to, obviously, I want to repeal what has already happened in the changes in health care. But like I said earlier, there's a lot of common ground that we could find in regards to making the changes. I think the mistake that was made with Obamacare is it was too big of a monstrous bill. Number one, nobody read it. Number two, no one really understood it. And they just passed it. And I think Nancy Pelosi said, we'll figure it out down the road. But what we have to do is we have got to make changes in health care that I know that'll be better for all Americans and certainly the Iowans as well. And we got to do it in a bipartisan way.
And what are some of those, I guess, examples of common ground that you can give me?
Well, I can tell you, I would guess that most everybody agrees with the part of Obamacare, which was the where you could be able to transfer from one position or one job to another, the portability option. I know that there's a lot of people that agreed about the pre-existing conditions. I think we could come to find common ground on that. I think that there's some opportunities in regards to transparency when you get services, being maybe potentially being able to buy insurance across state lines, which is legislation I offered in the state capitol. And, of course, I know that the sensitive thing would be some of the liability reform. But I think those would be some starting points that you would try to work with in a bipartisan way.
Nearly every candidate running for office says they want to cut government waste and bring down the deficit. Name a program or department you would cut and why.
Well, I think everything, when I talk about cutting spending, I say there's three non-negotiables for me, and that's the support systems for our elderly, for our disabled as well as our veterans. But other than that, I think everything should be at least having a conversation about what is the priority of services that we deliver to the people that we serve. With that said, I have a bill at the state capitol to shut down the Department of Education. I feel very strongly about that at the federal level as well. And the reason why is because one size does not fit all. The challenges of like Hyatt Middle School, which is in Des Moines, which is on the east side of Des Moines, and the challenges there are in rural Iowa or the challenges there are in the suburban Iowa are completely different. You know, I believe there's accountability. I'm a very, very strong supporter of local control, and I think that those local school districts could actually adapt to what their needs are rather than coming out of Washington, D.C. You could see a correlation of student achievement scores on the decline when the Department of Education was formed in 1979. And they have not helped the process. I, full disclosure, am married to a teacher. All the mandated paperwork that comes out of D.C. Is overwhelming for these teachers. These teachers are spending all their weekends and a lot of their evenings putting together all the paperwork requirements for their students, and particularly even special eds with the IEPs. And we need to cut back on that paperwork. I think in Iowa, we know what's best for our students. I know that that's a cliche. Only thing I would tell you is I filed a bill to shut down the Department of Education in the state of Iowa. So I truly believe in this. I'm on the Education Committee. I understand some of the challenges. I talk to administrators. Like I said, I'm married to a former teacher and talk to a lot of parents as well.
Our next question is, are we spending enough on national defense?
Well, I think it all should be reviewed. I mentioned earlier, everything should be on the table, all the departments. I certainly would probably guess that there's some fraud and some waste. I would particularly be interested in some of the foreign aid that we provide to a lot of countries that hate us. I also want to have that conversation. I thought what was proposed with a 2% decrease in spending in Washington, D.C., which really hit the Department of Defense the hardest, was unfortunate. I don't like these across-the-board cuts like what happened there, and then, of course, exclusively picking on the Department of Defense. We have to have a strong military in the United States. If we could learn a lesson from what Ronald Reagan did, we really didn't go to war. What we did is we had a strong military and we had a president that everyone worldwide respected. And I think that we need to learn a lesson on how we did that. But I do think that the military budget, the Department of Defense budget, is something that we should have a conversation about. And just making sure that it is run efficiently and there's not a lot of fraud and waste in that department, as well as all other departments.
I mean, when you talk about aid to foreign countries, I mean, one example of that recently would be Syria.
I would definitely have a conversation about Syria. I guess the one that I'd be most cautious about is I know that there's a lot of foreign aid that goes to Israel, and they've been great allies to the United States. And I think that they promote freedom in that region, which is a very dangerous region of the world. But I do think that Syria and all the other foreign aid that's going out right now, we need to have a conversation. I believe we need to spend the money that is taken in by the taxpayers of the United States and take care of the United States first before we take care of a lot of the other foreign countries that are out there.
Immigration reform is an issue important to Iowa but has stalled in Congress. What immigration reforms would you support?
Well, I think we definitely have to have that conversation because immigration right now is broken. I would start with, we have got to make sure we have secure borders. And I don't know what the definition of that is, but I'm open-minded to having that conversation. I don't care how we get there as long as our borders are secure. I would even have the conversation about potentially putting the National Guard down on the borders. But with that said, we have got to look at the process of immigration. I can tell you that I talked to a farmer that had someone he was sponsoring on a green card, and he's mentioned that he sent this person and paid them while they were going to Des Moines to fill out the paperwork, go through the process to become, to start the process to become an American citizen. I can guarantee you that our ancestors, which all of our ancestors came here to this country, I guarantee the process is so much more complicated than it was back then. I know for sure. And I've talked to different people that go through this process. I mean, you're talking about a two inches worth of paperwork just to become an American citizen. Bottom line for me is I want to give opportunities for everyone to live the American dream. That's why most of our ancestors came here. I want to look at the process. And secondly, it is not, you know, I want to make sure that all the people that are incarcerated, that are illegals, that we get them out of this country. I'm tired of paying for their, you know, them being incarcerated here in the United States. But it is not practical to take all the illegal immigrants that are here in this country and have them leave this country. I want them to be contributing member of our society, and I want to give them an opportunity without amnesty.
According to figures from NASA, 97% of climate scientists agree that climate warming trends over the past century are very likely due to human activities. And most of the leading scientific organizations worldwide have issued public statements endorsing this position. What's your take?
Okay, so then my question to you is, all these countries that are saying this, what are they doing about it? It's my biggest concern. I would acknowledge that our globe is warming, changing. What my frustration is we've got about 200 years worth of information where we could actually track what the cycles of our globe is doing. When this world and this globe has been here for 10,000s of years, we don't have enough information to prove why that there is global warming right now. I believe there is changes in what's going on, but I don't believe that we have enough data to make an assumption on. I just went to a conference in Chicago, and we supposedly had two of the best people, one saying there is global warming, another one saying that there isn't. And two just brilliant people from Harvard, if I recall, that could not agree on this issue. What I do want to do is I want to make sure that we have a great environment. I'm open-minded to having this conversation, but I have not been proved 100% that this is man-made global warming. I acknowledge that there's global warming, but I don't have enough proof that it is man-made. Secondly, what's really disappointing to me is you hear all the data, what's going on environmentally throughout the world. China is an example. I mean, even if we do have the information to make a decision on making some changes here in the United States, which I think we have. I really do, because when I was a kid, I remember going into large communities. We always drove everywhere. We didn't fly. And you'd see a haze over all these communities. I think that the automobile industry has really helped and clean up our environment and our air. So I just believe that, you know, until I have proof, if this happens, I mean, you've got countries that are out there right now that are abusing our environment on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, I agree that we should have the conversation, but I have not been sold on the theory that it is man-made global warming.
Okay. And just to clarify, I mean, are you in support of things that might reduce carbon emissions, for example?
Well, I've been supportive of, in regards to with wind energy and in the solar industry. I've been very supportive of that. I've went out and taken tours of, in fact, last fall I took a tour with some other lawmakers to see what the advances are in solar energy. The price has come down. I mean, a lot of more people are going to have opportunities to put solar up. Listen, my bottom line in regards to energy is that my responsibility to the people that I represent is to have reliable energy and affordable energy. And I think that we can't just rely on one industry over the other, and I'm talking about, you know, be solar or wind or coal-fired or whatever it is. I think what we need to do is make sure that we have a plan that delivers reliable energy at an affordable price.